Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League.
Yeah! Touchdown!
Touchdown! Panther! Panther Talk. Panther Talk. Panther Talk. This is Panther Talk, presented by McDonald's on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Here comes the line, just a sack, and the ball is loose.
Carolina recover,
and it's a touchdown! Yeah. And the Panthers have done it!
Hand off to Cabri again, right up the middle. Hurdles the man at the 15 to the 10. A sprint to the right side, dives to the pylon. Down.
Could have been easy to just curl up and go away. They didn't. They fought back. They gave it, gave it their best, and the effort was outstanding. So, you know, there is a lot of things that we got to correct. But at the same time, I really appreciated the effort and the attitude in which they played with.
And now, along with Jim Soke and Eugene Robinson, here's Mick Mixon with Panther Talk, live from the Panthers broadcast facility at Bank of America Stadium.
The season's fourth Panther Talk begins tonight with our top three reasons why Carolina Panther preseason football is better than a total eclipse of the sun. Reason number three, you won't have to wait as long for the next iteration. Reason number two, it lasts longer. And our top reason why Panther preseason football is better than a total eclipse of the sun is you really want to. You could look directly at Carolina Panther preseason football.
Could we use Wendell as our version of Paul Schaefer?
I think you could do it. You could pull it off.
Yes, you can.
Do not need special lenses.
No.
Although, for a time on Saturday in Nashville,
yes,
that game was about as easy on the eyes as a solar eclipse.
Yes, it was. And particularly in the first half. My goodness. That first quarter was just laced with mistakes by the Carolina Panthers from an offensive standpoint. And then from a defensive standpoint, really, you know, Mariota went down the football field and kind of exacted whatever he wanted on the football field at that time. Whether it was running or passing the ball, he was spotless.
It was more like Armageddon than an eclipse for the first quarter when it was 17-0.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, you come out and you turn the ball over on your first offensive play. Then you go three and out, and then you go turnover on your fifth offensive play. And that puts the defense in a bind, not only field position-wise, Eugene, but also that sudden change. You know, talk about being a defender where you're on the bench, you've just gone to the bench, because twice it was the first play. It wasn't like just a turnover, it was the first play. So you've just gone to the sidelines, it's a million degrees out there,
yes,
and you're putting your helmet back on to go back out on the field. And what happened was Derrick Henry on one of those goes for a 17-yard touchdown on the first play there. It's got to be difficult, I would think, as a defender.
It is the worst thing you want to hear when it's been a long drive. You want to hear, defense up. You know, what do you mean defense up? Offense got to do something. What do you mean defense up? That's the worst thing that you want to hear, because now you got to put down a Gatorade if you got Gatorade. Or you're lucky to have a breather and get ready to go ahead and get back out in the football field. And it changes your mindset. And the offense who's coming on the football field is jacked up. And they're going to do something extraordinary, throw the ball deep. They're going to do something exotic to go ahead and take advantage of the sudden changes. So I never want to hear defense up. I'm like, hold on, what do you mean defense up? Well, they heard that in the first quarter, and that's not a good thing.
Was there a common theme that united some of the missed tackles from a Panther standpoint in that game?
First of all, tackling is about one, want to, and I do think the guys want to, no doubt about that. And then it's about angles and getting your body in position. And it's also about getting off blocks. Sometimes not off blocks, and you got a little arm tackle that you got to go ahead and do. And Henry or anybody else is going to run through an arm tackle. And the other thing is not getting your body in right position and going low on a big receiver, tight end, or big running back. That is the worst thing. You got to take one from the team as a defensive back, because if you don't, you see, you just get stiff-armed to the ground. Jeremy Cash, we just saw on the film, who's a really good tackler, started to go low, stiff-armed on the football, felt by Henry, he get pushed down to the ground. You got to stay up high on that, and so that easily is correctable.
I know this affects all NFL teams equally this time of year, but the lack of being able to have tackling-type practices, does that hinder you this early in the season where maybe techniques such as tackling is off? Because there are a lot of days where, with the NFLPA agreement, they're not tackling, that I've been wearing shoulder pads on certain days.
This is a function of the fact that there's really no more two-a-days, and what you just got saying, finished saying, hardly any tackling. You got to be able to hone your skills, and tackling is something that you got to get used to. Believe it or not, guys duck their heads, guys close their eyes. I know they do because I've seen guys do it. And so you got to get in the mindset of getting your body in position to make a tackle. And the only way you do it is you do it live. You can simulate it in practice, but it's not the same. You got to do it live. And so in our practice, when we had live settings, that's when you had the tackling drills, and that's when you made the most out of it. And right now, you're right, there's an absence of it. And because of that, during preseason, I think it hurts the guys as they go into the season. But as the season progresses, to get a hold of it.
We'll talk to Coach Rivera in a second, and our broadcast roundtable tonight is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes, quarter of an hour, could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. It may be the tale of two coaches. In other words, mad coach after the game because his bodily fluids were running a little hot because of the turnovers, which led to points. But then he comes back and the staff breaks the tape down, and we'll see in the aftermath of the game some of the good things the Carolina Panthers did.
Yeah, sometimes it's a familiar refrain from players and coaches that I go look at the tape first, because when you're living it in real time, we have the benefit as either fans or broadcasters of seeing replays, so we've a lot of times seen the play more times than they ever will, for sure, in fact, 2-3 times, depending on what play it was. So I'm sure there is some amount of that where, and maybe you might find some things are worse than you thought. You know, there might be some situations where somebody was more out of position than you thought more often. I think, Eugene, maybe the biggest thing with some of the issues when they are cropping up is it's just consistency. It's not that someone doesn't know what they're doing or they're messing up all the time. It's good play, bad play. You know, and I think 23 was an example that we talked about during the game. McCray, you know, he would make a good play, then a bad play, and he's fighting for a safety spot here. So there were good moments and bad moments that would show up on the tape.
And once again, those are easily correctable moments. And you're right. I like the duality, that dichotomy that coach has, because you got to be able to get on your guys, but you got to be able to show them love. And so even in the heat of the battle, first quarter, he's on them, guys. He's on them. All right? And then at the end of the game, he has a totally different demeanor, where I bet you in the locker room, it was totally different. And I bet you in their meeting today, it was like totally different. And so that's a really good thing that you have, because you got to play that little psychological game, because you can't beat somebody down all day long. You can get on them, but you got to be able to praise them. And coach seemed to find that fine line of praise and criticism, which is a very fine line in the ego of a football player.
The voice of Eugene Robinson, Jim Zocchi. My name is Mick Mixon. This is Panther Talk tonight on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. So with the list of positives in that game, once you get past the fighting spirit that the Panthers demonstrated as a team to get back in down 17-0 to forge a tie, would David Mayo be right at or near the top of that list, fellas?
Absolutely on top of that. David Mayo played some sensational football. In the absence of Luke Kuechly, in lieu of Luke Kuechly, if you will, he was everywhere. I mean, he made the right calls. And don't forget, he talked about personal integrity and gap integrity on the football when we talked to him afterwards. Well, that means he has to get those guys lined up left to right, shifted when he sees all the different shifts. And he was flawless. And when he didn't, he made the tackle. So kudos to him, because guess what? He solidified himself as being the backup middle linebacker on his team with that performance, in my opinion.
He could actually, when he makes tackles this year, get chance of Luke, as A.J. Klein once did.
Indeed.
That's how good he played, because he'll go out there and make 10 tackles, and the fans will think it's Luke Kuechly, but it's actually David Mayo, because he did play well out there. And you talked about Jeremy Cash. He's actually more often than not played well as a backup linebacker. We'll hear from him later in the show as well. But not just the starting three. I think the linebacking depth is not as big of a concern talent-wise as maybe some might have thought going in, that this next layer of defenders is really good.
Yeah, agreed, no doubt. Well, we'll chop it up a little more with the guys here. Need to tell you now, though, that Panther football is brought to you by Papa John's. You get your online order half off the regular price this season, the day after the Panthers score 20 or more points. And it's easy. Just use promo code PANTHERS20 at PapaJohns.com. And you know how it works. Better ingredients, better pizza. That's Papa John's. Coach Ron Rivera next. This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk.
Hand off, McCaffrey again right up the middle. Hurdles a man at the 15 to the 10. A sprint to the right side. Dives to the pylon. Touchdown, Peace. Christian McCaffrey.
That dude's special. That guy is special.
Both practices on Wednesday, Thursday were high energy, high impact type practices in terms of, you know, guys really got after it. The emotions, the physicality of the game, of the practice, I thought were outstanding. I really do. And I think we got a lot out of it. I think the guys did some really good things, you know, and they gave us a chance to come out today. And practice, you know. As I said, my biggest disappointment was probably in the first three series on offense. You know, we turned the ball over twice. When you can't do that, not against a good football team, not against a team that's got a lot of weapons, and you know, because you're chasing them and you put yourself in a bad position.
This is Panther Talk, presented by McDonald's on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Ron Rivera, Mick Mixon visiting with him on Panther Talk tonight. Let's talk quickly about Saturday's game, Coach, and some of the positives in your mind that you pulled away from the Tennessee trip after studying some of that video.
Well, you know what's interesting, Mick, and again, you got to dive into the numbers to really understand this game, but getting past the two takeaways we committed in the first quarter, we settled and played a very solid football game. There were really some good things, but and what happened was some of the play that we had on the offensive side gets overshadowed. Some of the things we did defensively gets overshadowed because, again, they go up 17-0 because of the two takeaways that we gave up. But having said that, as I looked at what we did offensively, I was very pleased. You know, we had a drive of 75, 90, and 75 yards. Three scoring drives that resulted in touchdowns that were extended throughout the game. And I just really felt that when you can do that, you're consistent. You're doing some consistent things. When we needed to score, we did, to put ourselves right back in the game to make it 24-24. I was really pleased with that. And then again, making it 24-27 and then kicking the field goal to make it 27-all, I was really pleased with what we did.
Coach Rivera, did you see some offensive line play that pleased you?
Yes, very much so, Mick. And again, I think the two takeaways that we committed in no way reflected what was going on with the offensive line. None at all. We fumbled the ball when we shouldn't have. We threw an interception. We had a guy open. We just got to drop it in over the top a little better. But I think our offensive line has been outstanding throughout training camp, and I'm excited about that. I think we just got to continue to work, iron out some of these rough edges that we have. But I think our offensive line is coming together very nicely.
Were there some tackling issues on the defensive side? And if so, Coach, are those fixable moving forward?
Oh, most certainly. There were some issues, Mick. And probably the biggest thing you notice as you watch it, we didn't bring our feet. We lunged. We tried to arm tackle. And you can't do that against a physical football team. They're going to break those tackles and they'll get a few more yards. So, you know, we worked on, obviously, our tackling the last couple of days. And, you know, just our guys got to understand, you got to bring your feet. You can't lunge. You can't dive. You can't reach and grab. You got to be able to come and bring it, and use proper technique.
Where will you place your practice emphasis tomorrow, and where did you place it today, getting ready for a quick turnaround for the Jacksonville trip?
Well, for the most part, Mick, what we try to do is work a little bit on ourselves, make some corrections from the game, and then we focused in on the base offense of Jacksonville today. Tomorrow, because it is a quick turnaround, we're going to have to get into what typically is a Friday practice for us, and that is going through situational football. We'll work on our first and second down, obviously. Then we'll go third down, short yardage, red zone, goal line, and our backed up and coming out offensive defenses as well. So the focus will be situational for Jacksonville.
No, it's early in the week, but do you have a feel yet for how you'll use some of your starters? Cam, Luke, Ryan, Khalil come to mind as guys that did not play in the Tennessee game.
No, in all honesty, what we're going to have to do more so than anything else is we're going to take a nice long look at how everybody's progressed in terms of their recoveries and see where they all are. Cam threw the ball very well today. He and I talked a little bit. He said he felt a little rusty. He felt like his timing was off a little late. But the ball was thrown well. He delivered a nice ball. So he's looking stronger and stronger. We just got to be smart. If he feels good tomorrow, we'll increase his throws, see how he feels on Wednesday, and then we'll base it off of that. But so far, so good.
Last question. Everybody who works with you appreciates how hard you work and how dedicated you are to the craft. Everybody also appreciates that you're not totally tone deaf to things that go on outside the walls here at Bank of America Stadium. So that said, Coach, did you get outside? Did you look outside today and take in the solar eclipse?
There's a solar eclipse. No, I didn't actually, Mick. You know, that's probably one right in the middle of one of my meeting times. And because what happened was we were going to practice this afternoon, but because of the solar eclipse, a little bit of concern that, you know, some of our guys might have stopped and somebody would have said, hey, check it out. And before we know, we have 10 guys staring at the sun. So we didn't want to take that chance. And so I had to rearrange schedule. We have a few guys, obviously, that do have the glasses. I'll give you one guess who the leader of that group is, Khalil.
All right. Sounds good, Coach. Appreciate it. We'll leave it with you there. Thanks for your time and good luck in your preparations this week.
Appreciate it, Mick, as always.
Panther Talk presented by McDonald's. A good morning starts with the Golden Arches. Good breakfast at McDonald's. Scratch-made bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit sandwich for just $1.69.
That was such a gyp today, the eclipse in Charlotte. I know in other places, I guess that 2% makes a big difference, having a 98%, but it was...
That's a lot of clouds.
It got dim.
That's a lot of clouds.
Dimmer.
It was dim and dimmer.
I saw a lot of clouds.
It was a gyp.
Clouds.
No good. Yeah, it was underwhelming.
It was.
If you went into South Carolina, I'm sure it was cool. But as far as Charlotte, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal.
I heard Nashville was totally dark and street lights on and some other cities, too. If you were in the band, it was more spectacular.
Yeah. You know, one thing did happen. It started to get dark around where I live in the Still Creek area. And then the crickets started to come out in droves. You can hear all the cricket noise. I mean,
where do you live, in a swamp?
I guess so. It was Swamp Bill, USA, and you heard the crickets. And then the street lights came on, and then when the eclipse passed over and it was gone, then the street lights turned back off.
Your neighborhood sounds totally creepy.
It is the Amityville Horror.
There's crickets and lights turning themselves on and off.
If you would ever tell the guard gate or give me the passcode, Donnie and I would like to come see y'all down there.
Yeah, he comes around on a golf cart. Chilling, and it is a souped-up golf cart, too, by the way.
Hardly get in down there. Yeah, okay. I did do some dumpster diving, though, when y'all's house was being built. I got some nice pieces of wood at home.
There you go.
Y'all didn't have any use for it. Our injury updates are brought to you by Ortho Carolina's Urgent Care Centers. We got Corn Elder, knee. Curtis Samuel's got a hammy, but getting better. Kyle Love's got an ankle. Vernon Butler's got a knee. And Brenton Burson has a wing.
A shoulder, huh?
Yeah, he's got a shoulder.
Yeah, he's 2-for-2 for getting injured in the preseason games, but he's still there, upright.
Shaking up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know it's felt for him because the place you don't want to get hurt, I would imagine, anywhere, but it's right in front of the Tennessee bench area.
Oh, yeah.
Where all them cats are sweating on you and hovering around you. They don't care about you. So we got a few minutes before the next segment. So let's talk a little bit about this Panther offensive unit where we have not yet seen. Sounds like I'm making excuses, and I don't mean to, but in fairness to the Panthers on the scoreboard, Carolina does not have Ryan Khalil in that game. Cam Newton's not playing. Marcus Mariota played. Tennessee had most of their frontline cats. So what did you guys see from the Panther? We talked about David Mayo on D. What did you guys see from the Panther O that encouraged you?
I think, one, the running game. The running game was outstanding. I thought the running backs made really terrific cuts in the offensive line. Did a good job of blocking. When you have the runs that we've seen from Cameron Jordan-Payne and also from McCaffrey, those runs are really, you know, forged by and set up by the offensive line. They were doing a great job. And if this is the iteration or what we're going to end up seeing from the Carolina Panthers, then this is really welcome because given Cam Newton's ability to throw the ball and his ability to run the ball, he doesn't have to do everything now. He can really concentrate on being a true pocket quarterback, a la what Joe Webb has been doing and doing extremely well. The only big thing about it, the drawback, is his timing. He got to be able to get his timing in. So that's why it's really imperative that he starts to get into the preseason mode. But Coach said he'll take him slow. Hopefully he'll play this Thursday game. That's what I'm hoping.
Offensive line has been really good in these games. In fact, the only quarterback who's basically been touched is Gilbert, Garrett Gilbert, in the first two games. They've done it, especially the first unit. I know you're a big Tyler Larson fan. What he's been doing, filling in.
I love him.
for Khalil at center. They've been good in the running games. I mean, we talk about how well McCaffrey and Cameron Artis Payne ran. Without those holes that they're creating, there's no running room. Because these are between tackle runs they've been doing. So that's very impressive. But the pocket's been there for DA and for Webb. And I think, I know it's against second and third team guys all the time. Joe Webb always plays great football in August. So when he comes in there, he does what he's asked to do. He executes the offense. You get not only that he plays well, but when he plays well, then you can get a good look at what other guys can do, right? If he's throwing it into the bleachers and into the ground, you don't know what receivers can catch and anything else. Joe Webb executes the offense well for what they need him to do when he comes in off the bench in these games.
Everybody loves McCaffrey, of course, and he reminds me of when Cam Newton first got here, some of those moments where you just think, okay, he's young, but best player on the field, that guy.
That guy.
McCaffrey could be that guy.
Wow.
We'll see. But how could Alex Armaugh have that kind of control of his body with that girth? Don't want to put the star-making machinery into motion too early, but some guys can just ball. Some guys can just play football. And Armaugh is an intriguing prospect.
And you could play him anywhere on the field on offense or defense. Yep. He played every position in college. So, I mean, you could use him in a lot of different ways.
He looked really nice. He looked very, very good going down the sideline.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I don't think there's any question he'll be on the 53 because he's so versatile. Not only as fullback, he can do H-back. He could, in a pinch, he can throw him on defense.
Special teams. Linebacker.
Yeah. And you need thumpers. You need wedge. You need the wedge. You need wedge busters on teams. So that could be his honey hole. Stay tuned. Jim will talk to Jeremy Cash. This is a good interview. You want to stay tuned for it. So Panther Talk will continue. But first, these words up and down the lines of the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
On a 3rd and 6 from the 23, it'll be a shotgun formation for Alex Canning. Sets up the throw. Jeremy Cash coming. Wraps him up and drops him for the quarterback sack.
Back to Mick Mixon, Jim Silkey, and Eugene Robinson with Panther Talk. Exclusively on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
That was the second game in a row that Jeremy Cash was in on a quarterback sack. And he is making a name for himself in year two. Last year, he spent half the year essentially watching, learning on the practice squad, and half the year on the roster, playing special teams, a little bit of tackle football as a linebacker as well. But he's in right now very good position to make this team as a backup linebacker. I talked with him at practice today about this, his second camp with the Panthers, and how that's going.
You know, I'm doing all right. I mean, ultimately, I just got to continue to go out there and do better. I got to learn my role on this team and be able to contribute in any way I can to help this team win.
Well, one of those ways we're seeing visible in the games is you've had a sack in each of the last two games. That's got to feel good for you as far as making that kind of output, I assume.
It definitely does. But at the same time, it's only the preseason. I just got to continue to get better every time I take out on the field and limit the mistakes and mental errors.
So as you're in your second season with the organization now, how much easier is it being through this time of year and not learning from scratch as you were as a rookie last year?
I mean, it's a lot easier, but as I mentioned earlier, there's still a ton more I need to learn and a lot further I can go to improve my game and take it to the next level.
You guys really show the depth at your linebacker position where Luke not playing in the game last week. David Mayo steps in, gets 10 tackles. Depth-wise, you know, everyone talks about the starting three, but you guys have to feel good about the group as a whole and how you've been performing.
Definitely. I mean, we honestly didn't come out and perform as we should have this past game, and we're just looking forward to getting back out and competing again this coming Thursday against Jacksonville Jaguars.
So for you, you get kind of near the end of this this preseason and so forth. Do you feel good about where you sit right now in terms of your chances of making this final 53 this year?
You know, honestly, anything's possible. Making the 53, that's not the complete mindset right now. I know it's in the back of the mind, but ultimately it's just going out there and improving these practices that I take the field.
Finally, this being the third preseason game, what do you want to get out of this game against Jacksonville in terms of what you guys do defensively as a whole?
Play smart, get as many takeaways on defense, and just come together and build that callus and make plays.
So at linebacker, you got Keekly Davis and Shaq Thompson. And we've already talked about David Mayo.
Yes.
And now we've got Jeremy Cash. You've got Jared Norris, Ben Jacobs, and Ben Bolwer.
And Ben Bolwer.
Other than that, just a bunch of guys.
That's more than you can even house. So it's going to be, you know, it's a lot of competition there at the backside of what's going to be the linebacker.
And when you make sacks, as Jeremy Cash has made sacks, or Jared Norris, who's forced the fumbles, it resonates. The coaches take notice because you have to make plays and you can't have any mental errors. And I think Cash has been really putting his foot forward because in the first preseason game, he had an ME where he jumped offside. So it was a little bit premature, and they caught him on that deal. He had to slow his speed down to make sure he can make the plays. Sometimes he's too fast, and he has to slow down. I think he's finding that gauge of slowing himself down a little bit.
It's an incredible group, the linebackers. I remember when Jared Norris first got here, his first few practices at Camp Wofford a year or two ago, some of the coaches saying, man, that guy's got promise. And it's been fun to watch his evolution. Been waiting for Boulware to make that signature play. Because he's a cut above when the pads come on.
Yes, he is.
He's one of those guys that would have benefited from having been born in the 50s, where they hit all the time at practice, because that's really his thing.
Right.
You know what? The thing is that it's hard to get on the field. I've been watching, looking at his when he gets on the football field. In the first game, that first preseason game, he got in the game at the last fourth quarter with like maybe 3.5 minutes left on the clock. And so that tells me something, that the coaches are looking at the other guys first to see what they kind of do and if they're going to put them in the mix. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what he looks like as his third preseason game, because I don't think he got that much time also other than special teams against Texans. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the coaches are saying and what they're seeing based on if he plays early, plays or doesn't play early.
It's hard with 90 players trying to get everybody playing time, because the first game, Demir Byrd, as an example at receiver, gets 4 catches, 2 touchdowns, 98 yards. This week he got one look. He got one target. I mean, so it's difficult to get a look at everybody during the games.
And make the best of when you're in there. You better make the most of the time in there.
That's right. Don't leave your glove on the ground,
young man.
A great man once said. More Panther talk. We've got Marty Herney in the Spotlight coming up next.
Again, an eye formation on second and goal from the 1-yard line. Matt Hurts over to the right side. Here's Artis Payne against Submarini this time. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Cameron Artis Payne. Right at the red zone entry. 1st and 10 from the 20-yard line. Play action. Webb throws right side. Complete. Got the fullback Arma. 15.
Wow.
10. Takes it down to the goal line near the pylon. Touchdown.
I think the best thing we did, though, was we came out in the second half. Our offense got the football, drove it down, scored points. And when you do that, you light a fire into yourself. Get the ball back, go back down and score another touchdown. Again, you give yourself a chance to win. So one thing I will not fault was the effort that these guys did. You know, it could have been easy to just curl up and go away. They didn't. They fought back. They gave it their best, and the effort was outstanding.
This is Panther Talk, presented by McDonald's on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
We always look forward to our visits with the general manager of the Carolina Panthers, Marty Herney. He joins us tonight here on Panther Talk. Marty, I guess our jobs require of us that we postmortem the Tennessee game. Not just the game, but the trip a little bit. What do you think the Panthers got out of our time in Tennessee?
I think the trip was good. We had really good 2 days of great work with the Titans, and two organizations are very similar philosophically, and I think the two head coaches look at things similarly philosophically. It was hard work. It was clean. It was just real good. As far as taking a trip like that, when you go away as a team for 4 days, you find a little bit about your team as far as, you know, your makeup personally, and I think we handled it. Everybody handled the trip great, being away and practicing against a different team for 2 days. Fast forward to Saturday, and obviously there were a lot of things we need to improve on. We turned the ball over 3 times. It led to 21 points, 3-1 series drives on offense. And defensively, I think we missed a lot of tackles. Special teams-wise, gave up some yardage on special teams as far as field position goes. But, you know, in the positive side, I think the offensive line played well. The way we fought back, I think we had some guys play well on defense, and there were positives there. So this is the type of year you find things you need to improve on and work at it, and that's what our guys do best. They work hard every day and they get better.
Are you looking like you're going to have some very difficult decisions to make, especially in the wide receiver, the linebacker, the running back, and the defensive back rooms?
Yeah, see, what's hard right now is that the injury factor affects it so much, because if you have an injury at a position with a guy who obviously you're going to keep and it isn't out long enough to not be on the roster, now that's going to affect maybe 1-2 other position number-wise if you have to keep an extra person at that position. So it's hard. We're going to have a lot of tough decisions to make. The depth here, the competition here, they've done a great job of bringing guys in and creating competition and creating depth. So it makes it hard, but that's a good problem to have.
On the TV side, we talked, Rucker and I talked a lot about David Mayo, seemed to be flying around. I'm sure Jim and Eugene did the same on the radio side. Did his good game bear out when the tape was broken down?
It really did. He played an excellent game. And David's had an excellent camp. He's just he's a very good linebacker. And he's got all the skill set. He can move, and he's physical, and he's very instinctive. And he played a heck of a game and had a heck of a week in Tennessee.
Second straight road game for the Carolina Panthers this week, even though it's the preseason. Marty, is that part of the art to winning in the NFL, too, as a team, learning how to be good away from home?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it is, you know, you have to win. You have to win your share of games on the road. It's very hard to do in this league. And obviously, you have to defend your home turf first, and you have to have a winning record, if not better, at home. But then you really want to go and be able to play games at worst split and obviously better on the road. And that's tough to do in this league.
Final question. Everybody knows you're a grinder, gym rat, incredibly focused. But did you peek outside or did you walk outside earlier this afternoon to see the eclipse?
No.
Did you know there was an eclipse?
I didn't until last week, obviously. Actually, somebody told me that last week. And, you know, Nashville, they're all excited because it's going, I guess that's the center of it. It's going through. But I really had no idea about it until next week. And as a buddy of mine said, I'll catch the next one.
There we go. 396 years from now. Sounds good. Appreciate you, Marty. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Funny guy. Marty Herney.
Very busy people.
I know.
They have no time for eclipses.
They are. I'm telling you, they're the boys in the
they're
bubble.
They're in the bubble. They're in the bubble. They really are in the bubble.
Especially this time of year. And that's what we want to. I mean, wouldn't you much rather have him discourse eloquently on the problems that we'll have figuring out which wide receivers are going to make the roster than you don't want him too knowledgeable about the eclipse.
And as Coach already alluded to and articulated, is that he didn't want to have practice during the eclipse while guys be looking up in the sky with the, with
the
regular
then
eyes.
The injury report would be Newton, Retina.
I, Retina.
But one of these days, we would walk out of the building one night and go, an asteroid hit the Earth, what? When did this happen?
There you go. But that's the bubble we live in. It really is.
Incredible. So let's talk about these wide receivers a little bit. So you got Clay, you got Frazier, you got Bird, you got a lot of, you know, Kiaris Garrett who did not make the trip. Is it safe to conclude that, say, maybe four of them are set if the Panthers keep six?
I would say so because you start with KB and Funches, Russell Shepard. And I'm telling you, Curtis Samuel just now getting healthy enough to get on the field out there is going to be a fun player to watch. I mean, this is a second-round pick, and he's got a lot of speed. So to me, those first four are set, so it's a matter of, is it Bird and Burson?
Duke,
or whatever?
Bird, Burson, Graham, Frazier. There's a lot of guys who name, they pop up, Garrett.
And that's if you keep six. I mean,
that's
it could be that
six.
It could be you keep five.
And Clay. Don't forget Clay. He's Kalen been
Clay.
Kalen Clay's.
But again, he's just not had the opportunities in the games. But
I like
him. He's shown up at FanFest and some other moments where he's played really well.
Yeah, I really like him. But it's not enough room to go around, and that's why when you're out there performing, you're not only playing for your team, but you're auditioning for every other team that is watching you perform. So you got to make the most of the time because sometimes you will get eclipsed, if you will, just because they don't have enough room.
Does it ever occur to you, Zoke? I know it. You know, Eugene played in the league, so this wouldn't apply to him as much. But I look at, say, Trevor Graham, T.J. Graham, now Trevor Graham, and think, does anybody really realize who hasn't played in the league how good you have to be, how badastically 10 feet tall and incredible you have to be in order to get just this far, in order to even be out there in a uniform.
And how fast he is. I mean, he's been around the league for a couple years and can do special teams. And you're right. And this is a guy who's like barely mentioned as could be the last receiver that gets in there. And it's not that they're not qualified. There's just only so many spots. There's not really a big separation between a lot of these players as far as which one should stay and which should go. It's almost like that, you know, trying to get your PGA Tour card. You know, the difference between the guys who make it and the ones who miss is a stroke or two at a qualifier event sometimes.
That's a great analogy about that.
They're just as good. It's just, you know.
You're right.
Opportunity.
I remember in a former life hitting tennis one night with a guy who at one time was the 500th ranked men's singles player in the world.
He probably crushed you, didn't he?
It's a joke.
He crushed you.
It's incredible. You feel like you're out there with daggum Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. So anyhow, incredible skill. And to the Panther scouts and coaches' credit, they've assembled a crew, so some hard decisions will have to be made. Panther football brought to you by NFL's Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange in the league. You get your Ticketmaster verified tickets with the NFL's Ticket Exchange. Jim, Eugene, and I'll be back with more Panther talk from the Langtonian Institute of Broadcasting Studios next. This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
On Spectrum and on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network, it's Panther Talk, Mick, Eugene, and the Zogue. How do you guys see the Andy Lee, Michael Pilardi battle for the punters, the puntership?
That one could go either way. Because that one, you've got, it's the classic, you've got the veteran who's done it, been in the Pro Bowl, and you brought him in last year. And when he was healthy, he was very good, so he got injured later in the year. And then you got Pilardi, who came in and replaced him last year.
Sensational.
He's punted well this camp and in these preseason games. Younger, cheaper. So it's kind of all in which way you want to go. They're both good as far as, you know, getting down the mechanics of special teams for holding on kicks and that kind of thing. So ability-wise, I mean, it's difficult. You got one kind of towards the end of their career and one at the beginning, so it's all in what...
If it comes down just to pure economics, then I think then the choice is easy. You will go with Pilardi. Hang time, both the guys have incredible hang time. They're allowing the guys to get down, and the cover seems to get down there and to cover. But they also are putting the team in a good position because you want them to be able to flip the field, and both of whom can flip the field. So that's really, really good. So now it really is comes down to what guy on your team, if it's economics, I can see you easily going with Pilardi. But if not, Andy Lee is a good choice also.
It's also about directional punting. Hang time's key. Distance is great, but it's possible to punt it too far. Mm. So which one is the better directional punter? Have a leg up.
And here's another little thing, fun fact we throw in there. Pilardi's a left-footed punter. And because of that ball's going to have a different rotation. And punts are just increasingly hard. To catch those puppies are tough. And so now you got a ball that's spinning the opposite direction. You know, I think that may have something to...
Pictured puppies when you said that. I thought that'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, so
catching puppies.
Yeah, so yeah, boom. I mean, it's different. That ball that
spins
ball
counterclockwise off the left foot.
Awful for the puppies. So.
Yeah.
So what about kicker Harrison Buck or Graham Gano?
I like the experience of Gano. I think it's been pretty even, Steven, from some of the hits and misses. But with Gano, you've got a guy that's got his kickoffs are unreturnable. There were some slumps last year, but I think in part could have been due to the constant change you had in the holders with the punters that were all coming through from camp on. But then you spent a draft choice on Butker. But to me, I always would rather go with experience and what Graham has brought. Was the year before was an amazing season before last year, and I think there were other circumstances that played into last year.
But Buckner, is that correct?
Butker.
He is very, very good, and he does almost the same kind of lineup as what's name when he puts his hand to the in between the uprights. So that is really good. The only thing that's going to be the difference is money. I think money would make that economically because both the guys are.
Why do you keep asking these hard questions?
They're doing it pretty well. So economically, one's cheaper than the other.
I like how he throws the question out and we have to answer it.
It's my job.
I like Gano. I think Gano is the guy I would go with. Gano.
He's kicking well. Okay, we'll have more of hot potato questions for the two guys. We'll continue. I'm rather enjoying this, so we'll continue on the other side of a break. This is Panther Talk from Bank of America Stadium.
Panther Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Everybody says and everybody knows it's a quarterback league. How do you guys think that this offense being retooled a bit will help Cam Newton?
Wow. First of all, it really is. Our offensive line has been playing, I think, exceptionally well. And we do a lot of pulling of the guards. And because of that pulling of the guard, it allows McCaffrey, Artis Payne, Stewart, to go ahead and hit the gaps right behind them. And they've been doing a sensational job. You continue that protocol because now you ask Cam not to run. You ask him to throw the ball. And this is something under control of the coaches. Coach Shula would govern that. Mm-hmm. There's been very little read-write option, even with Joe Webb in the game. I saw two of them. And two games, it's just two. So this is really good because now the evolution that they talked about of turning this over to being much more of a running offense, this is what we've been seeing.
Coach Rivera said it to us and then reiterated it again at practice today and Sunday. He said that 4-yard run by Jonathan Stewart, to your point, they want to get back to what they were 2 years ago, a team that physically runs the ball, then that opens up with McCaffrey and the other weapons around him.
It should work. Throw shorter, perhaps. Throw quicker.
Yes.
Get the ball into the hands of some of these guys and let them make some yards.
But run to throw.
Yeah, a West Coast type of offense. Yeah. Let the ball eat.
Yep. Good show, guys. Thank y'all.
No doubt.
You too. All right. For Jim Zocchi, for Eugene Robinson, for the rest of our crew, all the guys that you can't see and some of whom you can, this is Mick Mixon saying thanks for listening to Panther Talk, and we'll see you next week right here from Bank of America Stadium.
This has been Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.